Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll be reading from chapter 16. Only a few verses from 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Thank you, Lord, for your blessed word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. First of all, we welcome Pastor Keith back into church. We're very, very glad and happy to have you back. Just as you said, we make plans in the morning and God changes it for us. So I came here prepared today not to see you, but praise God, I've seen you. And we're all happy that you're back, and we pray that the Lord will completely heal you and so that we can have you all the time over here. And many more can listen to your word, Pastor. Thank you very much. Yes, last week, the church was full, by the way. So thank you all for your prayers. And thank you for praying for me this week. This word that the Lord has given me this week is actually a word that I've preached some time ago. I can't remember because I don't keep anything that the Lord gives me. I preach it and that's it. Like, but today the Lord was delaying his the message. I kept praying, but till this morning, and I opened my Bible and this message was here, and I felt the Lord lead me to this. So. Yes, this is the word. Deny yourself means to give up everything. In the biblical word, denying yourself means to give up everything for Christ. Taking up the cross means to take up suffering and hardships for the Lord. And the third point is follow Jesus. Turn away from our own will and live our lives to please God. Now, taking up the cross, many people preach this in different ways, but this is what the Lord has given to me. As you know, in this church it has been preached that when we come to the Lord, it does not mean to say all our troubles disappear. It does not mean to say that we start living a fantastic life and all of a sudden everything is right. No, that's not what the Bible teaches us. Jesus himself said that it's a big price to pay. You know, when we give ourselves to the Lord, you know, the Lord went through all this suffering, and so there's no promises about a good life. There are promises of a lot of suffering to come. Now, what kind of suffering is this? You know, many people think that, or many so-called Christians and organizations who also claim to follow Christ, preach a different kind of suffering. A suffering that, you know, they preach that we must go through suffering, we must go through pain, we must go through, yes, these things are part of the suffering, but that is not what the suffering that the Lord is talking about. That's not the cross that Jesus is telling us that we have to pick up and walk. The suffering you and me as Christians have to go through is feeling the pain of another human being. Feeling the pain of another Christian brother and sister. That's the suffering. You know, it does not mean to say that, you know, we have to go through physical pain, or there are a lot of religions where they put you through physical pain, claiming that that's what the Bible tells you to do. I say that's rubbish, because that's not the pain and that's not the suffering that the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that we must feel the suffering and pain of others, of other brothers and sisters, first who are in Christ and then the rest. You know, that's the kind of suffering and pain. Now, a lot of them, you know, walk around with crosses on their around their necks. You know, some of them small, some of them big, some of them different. And then you have the ones who, the godly people, who wear large crosses with studded jewels and diamonds and various kinds of things, you know. And probably they think they're carrying the cross, you know. But no, I think that's wrong. Once upon a time, even I had a cross. But I feel that's wrong because the cross is pain. The cross is suffering. The cross tells you of, you know, it was a horrible thing. And Christ, you know, took it upon him. And he took all that pain. He did all the dirty work for you and me, you know. And he paid the price on that cross. And so what he wants you and me to do is not to wear a cross around our necks, but to remember what he did on the cross and to live a life feeling the pain and suffering of others. You know, the pain that Jesus bore on that cross, the suffering that he went through, was nothing. You know, was nothing to him. What was important to him was you and me. To save us, to redeem us, to give us that second chance. He felt our pain. He felt our suffering. He could see the suffering that would come upon us if nothing was done. Because we were gone. God had decided. You know, this is a very, this world was going in a total different direction, totally out of plan from what he planned out. And we were doomed. But then he sent his son Jesus. And the Lord felt our pain. He knew the suffering. And that is what, dear friends, he wants you and me to do. That's the suffering the Lord Jesus is talking about. You know? Yes, denying ourselves. It means, you know, that we must give up anything that we like, all that we know. No. You know, I preached last week. The Lord gave me the word that we are the light. And I have nothing against people who homeschool. I have nothing groups who, you know, separate themselves. But what I'm against is people who say that this is what the Bible teaches. People who say that we must separate ourselves. No. The Lord says that we are not of the world, but we are in the world. And while we are in the world, we have to be that light. And we have to shine in the darkness that's surrounding this world. And if we don't do that, then we are like the man with the talent who dug a hole and buried his talent. What did he get when the master come back? He was punished. So we separate ourselves and we try and, you know, prove to the world that we are different and, you know, we are superior. I'm afraid, you know, you're going to get punished for that because that's wrong. That is not what the Bible teaches us, and that's not what a born-again Christian should be doing. We should be in the world there, we should be mixing with people, and we should be... You don't have to go and torture people with telling them, you know, to follow you. You don't have to go there and, you know, tell people things when they don't want to listen to you. You just got to live your life shining bright out there, carrying the Lord's light within you. His light should reflect through you onto them. You know, that's what you need to do. That's what your job is. That the Lord's light should reflect from you to the ungodly people out there. To this dark world that needs desperately, you know, to be lit up. And, you know, you have to reveal all the horrible things that are happening in the world. And it can only be done by you and me. And it can only be done if we are amongst these people. You know? Now, I'm not telling you again to go and, you know, force yourself into places and all that. No. The Lord has already planned. He's planned things for you and me. He's put us in the right place. All He wants you to do is to follow His instructions and live your life doing His will, shining out there, feeling the pain, the suffering of your brother and sister who's around you. You don't have to go around far off. There are people around you who you can reach out to. You know? You need to feel their suffering, feel their pain. You know, a Christian should, there should be love from within them. There shouldn't be hatred. There shouldn't be, it does not matter if it's an unbeliever. You know, it does not matter. When Jesus was preaching the word, when Jesus was walking the street, He never separated people. You know, He never said that, you're an unbeliever. You don't believe Him. I'll get out of here. Or move out of here. Or He didn't tell His disciples to separate people. You know, so if He didn't do it, why should we? And He also told us that it's easy to love people who love us. It's easy to be friends with people who are friends with us. It's easy to, you know, to be listened to when people want to listen to us. It's people who don't want to listen to us. It's people who don't like us. It's people who hate us. It's people who do not believe in the word. It's those people that we need to show that love. We need to feel their suffering. We need to think. It's sad because today, if you go, for those of you who are online, on the net to read the news, there's so much of hatred out there. There's so much of hatred, sadly, by so-called Christians. On one hand, they preach peace. On the other hand, they preach, there's no difference between all these terrorists and all these people out there, because they're doing the same thing. In the name of whatever God they follow. You know? But no, there are a lot of Christians out there who have lots of hatred in them. That they're hypocrites because they do not show that out when they're amongst people. But they go on to things like the internet. They go on to things like... And you can feel the hatred in such people. You know, I pray for such people that the Lord does not judge them. You know, because all these people who do these things, they do know the word. They do read the Bible. It's called adjustments. You got to adjust yourself. You got to learn God's word first. You know, you got to sit down, meditate on His word, ask Him, speak to the Holy Spirit. You know, yes, we are human beings. Yes, we have the tendency to immediately not like somebody who does not like us. To immediately hate somebody who's different from us. Somebody who's not doing what we do. You know? It is natural. But what God wants you to do is something different. Because you are different. And you are different. And you are different. We are different. You know, we are that peculiar people the Bible speaks of. And that's what the Lord wants you and me to do. You know, it means we must take our wants and desires down from the throne and place Jesus and His will as the governing power in our life. We must be willing to give up anything in this life to please God. There is nothing that you and me possess that, you know, is more precious or more costlier that we can give up, like these material things that we have for God. Nothing of that sort. What we can give up is hatred. What we can give up hatred and replace it with love. What we can give up is the old self. that we've already, when we gave ourselves to the Lord, we were washed clean, but the devil still hangs around at all times waiting for a chance. He's still around you. He can't touch you, but he's still over there. He never gives up. He tries to influence you. He tries to bring back things to you. You know, yes, we all in our previous life, if I may say, before we were born again, we had our bad bits. We had changed. Who knows that? Two people know that. In fact, three people. God, you yourself, and Satan. Okay? Nobody else might know it. But Satan's around there waiting to remind you. Oh, come on, don't let that person talk to you like that. Remember previously, if that person had to talk in that way to you, you would have been on the floor by now. It happens to me sometimes. When somebody, I'm trying to say something or I'm trying to get something and I know that person's wrong and that person wants to get the better of me, sometimes I think, if only I knew you before I came to know the Lord. That's not me talking. That's Mr. Satan out there. I shouldn't be even thinking that way because that's what I've left behind. But he's at work. You can't deny it. He will always be there till he's destroyed completely. The Bible says he's out there like a lion waiting to do it. And he's not stupid. He's not going to go to places where he can't get anything. He's not going to go to places where it won't matter to the Lord. His enemy is the Lord. He wants to be the same as God. So he will go anywhere where God's people are. That's the suffering the Lord wants you and me to know, dear friends, is to feel for others. In this world is going in such a pace now that everything that you see on the news, everything that you hear, it stirs up something in you. It stirs up something in you. And that something is called hatred. You might not know it. You might not think. You might think because I'm a Christian, I don't have such a thing in me. But when these feelings come, that's what the devil does to you and me. It is happening. It's getting worse. The world is going in a terrible place, a terrible direction. Look at our governments. They're fighting over each other. They're stabbing each other, within their own parties. They're stabbing each other from behind. It's confusion. The Bible tells us these things will happen. There's confusion with world leaders. There's backstabbing going on over there. It's so easy to start hating. It's so easy to start passing judgment. These are the times where the Lord wants you and me to be in control. Because, when everything's going fine, it's all well to say, I love everybody. Everybody are my brothers and sisters. That's so good. That's so easy. It's these times. Remember one thing. This world was created by God. The entire universe, mankind, was created by God. And God alone. He created all of us. Everybody are His. He is superior. He is in charge. He is in control. So, you and me don't have to go so far if we just stick with the plan that He set out for you and me, exactly where He has placed you and me, we'll be on the right track. We will be doing our part. God is superior, and God is superior in planning. His planning is like nobody else could plan like God's plans. If you go from the Old Testament right up to the end of the New Testament, God's planning is perfect. You know, we can't see that. We may think our lives are going this way, our lives are going that way. We might think we are perfect now. We might think that, oh, why is it different for us? And it's, you know, why does it always happen to us? That's a popular one. Why does it always happen to us? Dear friends, God knows why it happens to you. God knows the reason why it happens to you. Sometimes God allows it to happen to you. And sometimes He makes it happen to you. Because there's a reason. It's to make you a better person. It's make you to make you a better Christian. And to make that path easy for you that He has in plan for you, that you may pass through that narrow road easily. So, you know, we get these problems popping up now and then. Don't ever think that that's your cross. Don't ever think that some problem in your life, family problem, somebody is doing something to you, that's part of being the suffering of the cross. Because that's not. That is a thing of the world. You know, God has given us the ability to deal with such situations. He rewards us for such situations when we deal with it rightly, right here. But the suffering that you have to bear, which is the cross, is the suffering that you feel for others just as you feel for yourself. It's the suffering that you should feel and you must feel what God felt for you and me. What Jesus felt and the price that He paid on that cross. You know, Matthew says that this what we read from 24, it says the revelation of Jesus is reward for us. But if you turn to Luke and you read from 23, Luke chapter 23 and again verse 23. Sorry, Luke chapter 9, beg your pardon. Luke chapter 9 verse 23. It says, then He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, okay, and take up his cross daily and follow Me. You see? For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and himself destroyed or lost? And in Luke's gospel, he says, true cost of discipleship. The very same thing. One says it's the reward and one says it's a true cost of a discipleship to pick up that cross. Meaning, to take the suffering, feel the suffering of one another. And in a church, I always say that this is my family first. When I come in here, I feel free to discuss anything to people over here because this is my family now first. My dad, my mom, my brothers, sisters, they come after my family over here. There are many things which is personal to me and Sharon, we discuss it here and nobody even knows over there because this is our family. You know, there are times where you come in and you are having a rough week, you are having tough times with health, you are having financial problems, you are having, you just don't feel right. Dear friends, we are a family in Christ. This is the Lord's house. You know, never hold back. We are here to feel the suffering of each other, to comfort each other. You know, we might not be able to comfort you financially. We might not be able to take away the problems. But we are there
We are there to support you. We are there to bear your troubles and your sufferings together with you if we could make it a little bit lighter. That's what the Lord wants you and me to do, to bear the suffering of each other. First, and the rest of the world as well. Not just separate ourselves and not just make little groups saying that the Bible says so. Not just getting away in one corner, locking ourselves up and says that that's what the Bible says. No. Whatever you do over here is part of the world. He doesn't even want to know about those things. What he wants to know is whether you're living the life that he has put down for you to live. Are you carrying that cross? Are you feeling the pain? Do you know the price that the Lord Jesus paid for you? Do you know how much that weighs? Do you sit and meditate and think why the Lord did that? How much pain did he go through? Why? He's God Almighty. He could just destroy us. Just like when you write something wrong on a paper, you just tear it up, squeeze it, and it's gone in the bin. He could have done that to you and me. You know, he could have just done that. He's just taken us off, chucked us, done. Make a new one. Make a new person. Get another new person, chuck you out. No. You are priceless. You and me are priceless to God. He made you. You are for good. He didn't just make you to use you and then when you're not good enough to chuck you out. He has promised you even a reward. He's built mansions in heaven for you and me. And not only that, he's promised to come back and take you and me by the hand. What more do you want? You know, he's going to come back to take you and me by our hand. What a good God we serve. Huh? Dear friends, we should be spreading this kind of a love in the world today. Starting from today and on. It's going to get worse. We're going to start seeing people, hearing about people who we would automatically want to hate, who would automatically displease us. But if we behave like the rest of the world, then we are hypocrites. Because we'll come back here, joining our hands, lifting our hands up, and saying, yes, Lord. No, Lord. Okay, Lord. And then we go out there and we behave like the rest of the world. You know, it's something for us to think. And I truly believe this is the best time for us to meditate on what the Lord has to say for us. I'll leave you with this thought. And I believe that the Lord will bless each one of us, you know, and help us and guide us through these hard times, not just with the world around us, but even in our personal lives. With our families, with our health, with all situations that you are in at the moment. I believe that the Lord is working, and he's always working, and we will come out with the we. Praise God for that. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your blessed word. And I believe, Lord, that we have a friend in you, in good times and in bad times. We can call out to you, Abba Father, and you will reach out. Not just reach out, but you will lend your hand so that we may hold it and walk with you. Help us, Lord, to fill our hearts with love. Not just for the ones who love us, not just for the ones who have the same belief as us, but for everybody, Lord. Because you created everybody. You have chosen us, so we know you. Maybe there's a different time for different people that you have said. Maybe they will come to you. The Bible also says that everybody will come to the Lord. The Lord is giving enough time for everyone to come to the Lord. So we pray, Lord, that you work in our lives, that you work with our hearts, Lord,
and set it right, so that we may continue to carry that cross of yours joyfully, always with love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.